God-given birthright to feel whole, to be happy, to be prosperous, to feel joyous and free in mind and body and in spirit. And so if that's what you want, you're in the right place. I hope that you and all of your friends join me here every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern to learn how you can begin living the life you've always wanted to live. My name is Reverend Louisa Dyer. I'm a metaphysical minister and holistic life coach with decades of counseling experience, and my passion has always been sharing what I've learned about healing pain, about living a happier and more peaceful life, about clearing the suffering that so many of us are doing. And it's about feeling connected with that divine power that lives inside of us, and how that divine source of life itself can and does heal pain and suffering. I know firsthand how faith in that divine source of life can heal all of our woundedness. So each week on Inner Divinity, we focus on what works, what helps, what really matters. My intention always is to provide you not only with the tools, but with the inspiration to remember your wholeness, to find it, and to live it. Divine Spirit is alive in each and every one of us. I know that, because without it, we wouldn't be breathing. When spirit leaves the body dies. And until then, we have that divine spark of life and the power it holds living right inside of us. It doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, even where you are. It only matters that you know and begin to connect with that divine source of life. Because of that inner divinity, we have the choice and the power to rise up out of depression, addiction, victimhood, or any other suffering. I know because I've done it, and I've watched countless others do it as well. And so I hope you join me here every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern, right here on 88.3 FM, or online at WAIF883.org, as we explore the many ways there are to tap into the power and the beauty and the divine love that lives in your heart. It's yours as soon as you claim it. There is never really anything that we need to get or gain in order to experience wholeness or joy or prosperity. There's only stuff that we have to let go of, the stuff that has blocked our awareness of already having all of that right inside of us. That divine power is ours to use for all things good, and it arises most easily and fully from humility and gratitude. And so I want to thank you so much for listening, and to also let you know that there is a Facebook page for this show by the same name, Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within, and I'd love to hear from you on that Facebook page. We also begin each week with a little bit of music to uplift our spirits, to bring body and mind into a greater harmony, and to let the body move if it really wants to. Because when the body's moving with music, it begins to feel more strongly that divine spirit that is actually animating the body. So we'll be back in a few minutes, and I hope you join us for today's exploration of how to live a happier, healthier, more spiritually connected life. And here's some music to get us moving on that divine journey. Enjoy. You are listening to WAIF Cincinnati, 88.3 FM on your dial, and also live streaming online at WAIF883.org. The songs you just heard, of course, that last one was Sing a Song by Earth, Wind, and Fire off of their Gratitude CD. And before that, we heard Kumbaya by Faith Rivera. Our show from 2 to 3 every Wednesday is Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. And my name is Reverend Louisa Dyer, and I'm your host every week. And so I hope you and all of your friends join me as we focus on for this hour that divine essence that is at the core of our beings, that divine spark of life that actually animates our bodies. Because when we begin to know that that is there and tap into it, then we wake up in a way that we didn't even know we could be awake. This show is really about living happier and healthier lives. And I'm really hoping you can hear me because my on-air sign isn't on, but I'm assuming that I am indeed on the air. So someone call me if I am not. Anyway, of course you wouldn't hear that. Today we are going to be talking about something that I think everyone talks about, but very few people actually know how to do, and that is forgiveness. And I think the reason that it's such a hard thing to do is because we don't really know how to do it, and we try all these sort of fake ways to do it. We either try to pretend like nothing happened when it really did, or we pretend like we don't actually have feelings when we really do. And we attempt to make forgiveness, like an intellectual process. And most of the time, it doesn't work. And then we're still stuck with all that resentment and all those hard feelings that actually impact our lives in ways that we can't even begin to understand. And what I've discovered in years and years of working with other people and also with myself is that what we have to do actually is be willing to forgive. Because willingness, I think, is like grace. It comes as a gift. It's not something that we can make happen. I can't, for example, decide to forgive someone and then have an energy shift inside of me where the resentment or the sadness or the hurt or the anger or whatever it was that I was feeling relative to that has actually shifted anything. I can't just say, I forgive that, and it's taken care of. It isn't. What I can do, however, is decide to be willing. Because if I am willing to forgive, then something can happen. We're beings of free will. And because of that, what you call your higher self or God or guardian angels or source energy, whatever you call that divine essence that life is an expression of, it will not interfere with our timing or our free will. So until we say, I am willing to let this go, I am willing to release this, I am willing to forgive, then not much can happen. But the moment we say, I am willing to, then quantum physics has actually proven that literally the entire universe begins shifting and changing. I call it conspiring with us to make that so. So we can be willing to forgive, and then forgiveness comes when it comes. I don't think we can make it happen. I've never seen anyone able to do that, and I've certainly never been able to do that myself. But I can say I'm willing to, and then sometimes, as an act of grace, forgiveness happens. And when we actually forgive, something changes inside of us. We become healed. Because if we're carrying around resentment, which is what the lack of forgiveness really is when you start talking about how it's living inside of you, When we're carrying around resentment, it affects our physical bodies. It affects every relationship we have. It affects everything that is being attracted into our lives. And it affects all kinds of things so that they're not attracted into our lives, because that energy of resentment is quite what I would call negative. It's quite restrictive and constrictive, and it holds us back. And so when forgiveness actually comes as an act of grace, we feel a shift. We feel an opening. We feel a release of that tension that was tied up in the forgiveness or the hurt or the, that was tied up in the resentment or in the hurt or in the anger or whatever the feelings were that created that state of unforgiveness in the first place. So that's actually what we're talking about today, is forgiveness. And I know in every spiritual tradition and every spiritual teacher that I've ever read, they talk about the power of forgiveness. We haven't had very clear ways to actually go about forgiving. Most of us think that, you know, we try to go forgive and forget, or we say forgive the sinner, but not the sin. I don't see how you can separate a murderer from the murder myself. It's like I've never understood that. So forgiveness is something that probably most people listening would agree is beneficial. And it's most beneficial for you, not for the person that you've been holding the resentment against. Everybody who talks about forgiveness says you don't actually forgive another person for them. You forgive for yourself, because it frees you. It makes you lighter. It opens you up to feeling love inside of yourself, where before you were closed to that love. So that's what we're talking about here today, is forgiveness and the willingness that's required for us to actually forgive. And you know what? Somebody's calling me, so I'm going to put some music on for you, and we'll go from there.
I saw that there was an ocean of darkness and death, but an infinite ocean of light and love, which flowed over the ocean of darkness. In that
was actually talking about what the rest of the show is going to be about, something called radical forgiveness. She was telling me a story about how she had tried to forgive this person for a long time, and she thought she had, and then she realized that she hadn't, that she was still holding that hardness in her heart, and she had to sit down and write and write and write. And, you know, that's a wonderful lead-in for what I'm going to be talking about for the rest of the show, because I'm going to talk about something today called radical forgiveness. And it comes from a book that was written by a man named Colin Tipping. And he wrote the book, I think, in the late 90s, early 2000, and he's just had a re-edition, a new edition of the book, I think, was in 2009. And Colin has led workshops and done seminars all over the world and has helped millions and millions and millions of people heal through this concept of radical forgiveness. And the way, there's a lot of ways, actually, that radical forgiveness is different than forgiveness, but it speaks to what this woman who just called was talking about. And that is, we have to feel our feelings, and we have to express them in some way. We have to actually own the pain, the hurt, the fear, the anger, whatever it is that has been keeping us in that state of unforgiveness. We have to feel it before we can let it go. And that's the story this woman was telling me, and it was just beautiful. If she sat down and she felt it, and she wrote and she wrote and she wrote, and then the grace of forgiveness came. And that's how it happens, my friends. We can decide to be willing. We can even be willing to be willing to forgive. And then willingness invites the grace of forgiveness to come. But pretending like we have forgiven doesn't help us. It doesn't take away the pain inside. Intellectualizing it, saying, oh, well, I should forgive them because, you know, they had bad things happen to them too, and that's why they did these bad things, and that's just intellectualizing. That's not forgiving. That's just justifying, making excuses. So radical forgiveness. I have a feeling, are going to talk about this for the next few weeks because it's a very, very, very big, very big concept. And it's so different from what most of us have thought of as forgiveness. And it's so much more powerful. And basically the idea is that there is a divine purpose behind everything that happens. If you're willing to embrace that possibility that there is a divine purpose happening all the time in every situation with every interaction, there is a divine purpose happening, then every aspect of your life can change. That's the theory behind this radical forgiveness that we're going to be talking about. And in this book, Radical Forgiveness by Colin Tipping, he gives us step-by-step instruction in what begins as a healing process and actually culminates in an entirely new way of living in the world. What we can learn by looking at this is how to transform really difficult emotions like anger, fear, resentment, grief. We can change those into unconditional love, into gratitude, and I think most importantly, into peace. So that's what we're going to do a little bit of today, and I think we're going to continue this for a couple of weeks because there's really five essential stages of radical forgiveness. And to talk about each one will take a little while. But what they do, really what this book is about seeing how we have lived as a victim and being willing to give up that victim mentality. Being willing to come up out of the victim consciousness that so many of us have had and live free and happy and healthier lives. And I'm going to put on a little music and take that call, and I will see you back here in just a moment. Enjoy. Quaker Wisdom CD, and we are having our member-thon, our spring member-thon, and for anyone who pledges $50 or more for Inner Divinity, my show that happens every Tuesday, every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern, I will send you this CD, Timeless Quaker Wisdom in Plain Song by Paulette Meyer. I've featured it on the show, and a lot of people tell me how much they really like this CD. So for anyone who pledges $50 or more through my show, Inner Divinity, I will send them a copy of this Timeless Quaker Wisdom CD. And for anyone who pledges $75 or more, I will give them an Akashic record reading. And what you need to know is that we are an all-volunteer radio station here at WAIF. We are totally member-supported. And so we absolutely count on your support to keep ourselves on the air. And I invite anyone who would like to make a pledge to do so. You can call during the show, or you can get in touch with me through any of my websites, which is just my name, louisadyer.com or .net, and I would be happy to walk you through the pledge process, or we can do it over the phone if you would rather do that. And you do that by calling 749-1444 or contact me online. Thank you so much. We are talking today about forgiveness in general, and radical forgiveness specifically, and how they are very different. What I know from working with so many people is that holding on to resentment hurts. It keeps us stuck. It creates illness in our bodies. There's been a lot of research done that shows that cancer, at the root of cancer, is resentment. So it is good to give up those resentments. And that's what forgiveness will do. Forgiveness gives us a way to actually let go whatever it is that we've been holding. The thing about forgiveness, and radical forgiveness in particular, is that most of us hold a lot of unconscious pain. We heard things in childhood. We were given messages in childhood, and we created beliefs that are false, and they're inside of us, and they're unconscious. In psychology, it's called repression. When you have so much pain because of a traumatic experience or because of something that someone said that really hurt you, it hurts so bad that you actually repress, meaning you put it into your subconscious, the pain of it, and even the actual experience of it. A lot of times people don't even remember the experience itself. And so that's what we call repressed emotion or repressed pain. And so what happens then is we go through life and somebody does a certain thing and we have an overreaction to what somebody does. And when we have those overreactive moments, it's almost always because what they did or what they said triggered something in us that made us remember that old event. So I'm going to put a little bit more of Paulette's music on now so that you can hear that. And anyone who would like to make a donation today, please do so while the music is playing. This is called Truth is One, and I think you're going to really enjoy this.
Truth is one, the same old way, the way.
Truth is one and the same always, through ages and generations pass away, and one generation goes and another comes, yet the word and power and spirit of the living God endures forever and is the same and never changes. That's on the CD that I'm giving away for a $25 or more donation to WAIF in the name of this show, Inner Divinity. And I just want everybody to think about this idea that everything that happens, every aspect, there is a divine purpose behind everything that happens. That's the basic idea behind radical forgiveness. And there are five stages of it, and we're going to talk about each of those stages and what the process of radical forgiveness is really designed to do, is to uncover and then clear out the victim consciousness that so many of us have. And what is victim consciousness? Well, it's when we think, if you ever say, you know, you made me mad, that's victim consciousness. Nobody can make you feel a particular way, or you made me do that. That's victim consciousness. No one can make us do anything. We do it because we're afraid, or we want to please, or we think we have to, or we should. Whenever we think that someone else is in charge of what we feel or think or do, that is victim consciousness. And so really, radical forgiveness is about those two things. It's about knowing, at least being willing to believe. You don't even have to know. As a matter of fact, that's one of the things I love about radical forgiveness, is that you don't even have to believe it. You just have to be willing to believe that there is a divine purpose happening in everything all the time. And if you believe in God, I think that's an easy thing to do. It's like I tell people, you know, that worrying is a lack of faith. Worrying is saying God can't handle it. Well, of course God can handle it. And so if you're willing to embrace the possibility that there is a divine purpose in everything that happens, then your life can change. You can actually transcend that whole victim mentality and begin to live from an understanding of the inherent perfection that's happening in life all the time. To put that into practice, I personally don't think it's easy. I've been on this healing journey my whole entire life, and I'm continuing to be on this healing journey like so many people. There's never an end to our healing journeys as far as I can tell, and the way I like to think about that so that I don't start blaming myself or someone else because there's always more to do is that the universe itself is constantly expanding. And so if the universe itself is constantly expanding and I'm part of the universe, well, then I'm constantly expanding. And so there's never an end. Nothing ever stops. So that giving up of the victim attitude of somebody else, something else made me feel like this or act like this or think like this. That is simply not true. You are a being of free will. All those circumstances happen in this world because of cause and effect. Because in physical reality, there is an effect for every cause. There is a cause for every effect. That's not true in the spiritual realm. Because in the spiritual realm, God is way beyond cause and effect. And so if our consciousness level rises to a high enough place, then we're no longer part of that cause and effect. That's only true in this physical world. But in this physical world, there is a cause and effect. Everything, all the time. So what we have to do is learn how to take responsibility for the effects that we've created and start being consciously the cause so that we get to create effects that we actually enjoy rather than effects that we don't like. And so that's really what radical forgiveness is about, is giving up that victim mentality and coming into our actual, literal power. Because when we can get that, when we see how this process works, we're going to feel more trust, we're going to feel more security, and more peace than we ever thought possible. We'll actually begin to realize how well we are being supported by God, or by the universe, if you're more comfortable with that phrase. Whatever you want to call it, we are being supported completely every moment of every day, no matter what it looks like, no matter how bad any given situation seems at the time. We are being supported. You know what? Your body can feel that every time you let it. If you just let your body notice the surface that's holding it up and let your body really feel how it is being supported by the surface underneath you, whether you're walking or sitting or lying down, your body can feel that you are supported completely simply for being right where you are. And if you can really notice that, then you begin to get the idea that you are supported completely simply for being right where you are. And the body can feel that when we let it. So in this idea of radical forgiveness, Colin talks about, in the introduction to this book, how he was working with his sister and how she understood this really strange relationship snafu that was happening, and she was really upset with her husband. And I'll go more into that story later, but I just want to tell you a couple things that Colin was saying about it. He said, looked at from a spiritual standpoint, our discomfort in any given situation provides a signal that we are out of alignment with spiritual law and we're being given an opportunity to heal something. It may be some old pain, or it might be a toxic belief that stops us from being our true selves. We don't often see it from that perspective, however. Rather, we judge the situation and we blame others for what is happening. And that prevents us from seeing the message or understanding the lesson. And that's what prevents us from healing. If we don't heal whatever needs to be healed inside of us, then what we're going to do is just create more discomfort until we are literally forced to heal, until we have to go, what's going on here? Because I'll tell you what I know from working with people and with myself is that our high self, God, the Christ light within, it never gives up. It never gives up trying to get our attention and show us what it is that needs to be healed. And sometimes that message has to get very loud. That's why people talk about the proverbial, you know, getting up, hit upside the head with the 2x4. Sometimes the pain has to be really intense, or the shock has to be really strong. We have to really... Something drastic has to happen before we pay attention. A life-threatening illness, for example, that provides a really loud message. Yet, you know, what I've seen is that even when we're facing death, some people still don't get the connection between what is happening in their lives and in their body and the opportunity for healing that it provides. And so we're going to spend the next few weeks really talking about what radical forgiveness is and how we can do it. And we're going to go through these steps, because he says in this book that there are five steps to forgiveness. And we're actually going to do a little four-step process before we end today, because this is something you can take away with you today and actually use for yourself. But I want to read you this quote. This is from page 18 in Radical Forgiveness. Colin says, "We always create reality according to our beliefs. If you want to know what your subconscious beliefs are, look at what you have in your life and what you don't have. Life always reflects our beliefs. So, if you have anything going on in your physical body, in your emotional life, in your work life, in your spiritual life, if you have anything going on in your life, in your body, that you're not happy with, it's there as a message to show you, to tell you, to guide you to what it is that needs to be healed. And this radical forgiveness work can help you know what that is. I have to tell you that I discovered this radical forgiveness stuff, I think it was in 2000, when the magazine that I was co-editing for and writing for, called Spirit in the Smokies in Asheville, North Carolina, we had interviewed Colin and we were reviewing the book, and he was actually doing some workshops. And I read the book and I helped with the interview and wrote the review, and I was scared to death. I knew that I was not ready for radical forgiveness. Why? Because I was still holding on to my need to be right. I still needed to make some of those people who hurt me wrong. And that's really what a lack of forgiveness is. It's like resentment. It's like they treated me badly, and I don't like them for it. I'm hurt. I'm angry. I'm wounded. And I wasn't ready to give up the idea that they were wrong and I was right. That meant more to me than peace. And I knew then I wasn't ready to do radical forgiveness. I could barely even come to the idea of being willing to forgive in a normal sense. And I had been saying that for a long time, but I knew that forgiveness hadn't happened. And then, shortly thereafter, it did happen spontaneously. For my father, who a lot of people would say I was ritually abused as a child, and I had a lot of resentment towards my father about that. And one day, I had been saying, I'm willing to forgive, I'm willing to forgive, but I hadn't come anywhere near forgiving. And then one day, I all of a sudden had this epiphany, this realization that I really did want to explore what that whole thing was about, good and bad, God and the devil, life and death. I really did want to explore that, because that was actually the basis for the work that I do with people. I wanted to explore all that deep, dark shadow stuff and all the pain that a human being can experience and then walk up out of it, because that's been my work with people. And so my father and I made an agreement at a soul level that he would do those crazy things so that I could get that lesson. And I was just like, all of a sudden, there was nothing to forgive. As a matter of fact, I felt grateful that he had agreed to participate in such a crazy thing. And so, as I've been rereading this Radical Forgiveness book, what I realize is what happened then that I called an epiphany, that was radical forgiveness. I became willing to see the perfection in what happened. And instead of blaming him, I suddenly saw how my soul and his soul together had made an agreement so that that could happen for me, instead of thinking it was something bad that happened to me. It was something that I wanted, and it happened for me. And suddenly, forgiveness wasn't even an issue. I felt gratitude for my father that he had been willing to participate in that crazy, crazy thing with me. So that's sort of how radical forgiveness works. But we're going to talk about that very specifically. And I am realizing that we are almost out of time here today. And I want to give you something that you can take with you and you can begin using. And hopefully we will get more deeply into this over the next few weeks. And this is called 4 Steps to Forgiveness. So grab a pen and a piece of paper and write this down so that you can remember it. It's really, really simple. Step 1, whenever anything happens, a disagreement, frustration, irritation, whatever, little things especially are good to start with rather than great big things. But anytime you find yourself getting upset over anything, or if you find yourself making judgments about someone or something, or feeling self-righteous about something, or wanting to change something about a situation, you can use this 4-step process to bring your consciousness back into alignment with these principles that we're going to be talking about of radical forgiveness. Step 1 is you say, look what I created. This first step reminds us that we are the creators of our reality. However, what you have to remember is we create circumstances for our own healing. So don't assume guilt for what happens. Being quick to judge, of course, we often use that step as a way to beat ourselves up. And don't do that. We say, look what I've created. And instead of saying, oh, that's terrible, I must be a terrible person to have done that, don't fall into that trap. That's just the illusion. Say, look what I've created. And do that with excitement or curiosity, or it's a good thing. You've created it for your healing. Step 2, I notice my judgments and I love myself for having them. This step acknowledges that as humans, we automatically attach a whole string of judgments, questions, interpretations, beliefs to all kinds of situations. And our task in this step is just accepting the imperfection of our own humanity and loving ourselves for having those judgments, including the one that says we must be a spiritually bad person for creating that reality in the first place. Our judgments are part of ourselves, so we must love them as we love ourselves. So doing this step connects us with what is actually happening in our body and mind and brings us into the present through our feelings. So feel your feelings in this step, because then our energy can shift and allow us to go into the 3rd and 4th steps of this process. And so step 3 is, I am willing to see the perfection in this situation. The willingness, that's the essential step. It equates to this prayerful surrendering in the moment to the divine plan and the willingness to love ourselves for not being able to see that plan directly. And step 4, I think, is for me the most important. I choose the power of peace. This 4th step represents the consequence of all the previous steps. By accepting that divine purpose is served in this situation and that what appears to be occurring may in fact be illusion, we choose to feel peace and to use the power of peace in whatever actions are required of us. The power of peace is found when we're fully present in the moment, acting with clarity and focus to do whatever may be required and staying completely aware of our feelings. So practice this process. Until we meet next week, I thank you so much for listening. Again, my name is Reverend Louisa Dyer. There's a Facebook page for this show called Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. I'd love to hear from you on Facebook. I would also love to send you these gifts in trade for your donation to keep this show on the air. I hope you have a wonderful week and that you love yourself more than you ever have. We're closing with our theme song, Faith Rivera, God Is. Pay attention. This is the truth. Enjoy. Where I am.